Amen. Good to see everyone this evening.
Bless you, Gene.
Appreciate the Lord, His love and mercy and grace.
Amen.
And I'd like to ask Buford if he would start our service with a song.
Number 190. First of all, thank the Lord and praise Him. Went to the doctor yesterday and got a good report.
Yeah.
So praise the Lord for that. If y'all don't mind, I got some scripture upon my heart, and I hope that we can be an encouragement through this. I get things on my mind and get to thinking about things, and the Lord just gives me scripture that sometimes things just bother you. you know, the way that they're going on in the world. And
amen.
And I look around and I see the churches empty, and it just kind of seems to me like that they're being drawn out by the world.
Amen.
The world is drawing them out.
Amen.
And the scripture that he put on my heart's in Judges chapter 16.
Bless you, brother.
And I'm sure that you all know what this is about.
Amen.
There's very, well, I can't say that there's any of God's word I don't like, but I tell you what, the book of Judges is, and you know, it's just, it's, to me, it's inspiring. I love the book of Joshua. Just, I mean, all of it's just good.
Amen.
But of course, this is about Samson. And I'd like to start Judges chapter 16, verse 4. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And you know, of course, it's talking about Samson. And I found out a little interesting fact looking about this. And I never, it never had, the Lord had never impressed me, but this valley of Sorek. You know, of course, a valley is between two hills, and all your topsoil and rich dirt's going to be washed down in that valley. And this valley was actually, even today, in this day and time, known to produce, at this time it's known to produce grapes, which they use the grapes to make their wine, and even today it's a real fertile crop producing area in Israel. So this, and what stood out to me, Samson was attracted to this. A lot of people are attracted a lot of times by the world.
Amen.
It gets their attention. But he says that he loved this woman whose name was Delilah. And you know, of course, as the story goes, he really loved her, and the Philistines saw this, and the Philistines didn't like Samson. You know, they wanted to get rid of him. So they persuaded her with money to try to find out what the secret of his strength was. And Samson actually begins to play around with this.
That's right.
To toy around with it. And you know, when you start toying with the world and playing with the world, you're going to get burnt. It's going to, you know, it's not going to work out good. Not going. Yeah, you're definitely going to, you know, when we think that, you know, we can toy around with the world and toy around with the devil, it's not going to turn out good. And you know, the first time, you know, she tried to entice him, he said, well, if you'll bind me with seven green, I call them saplings, I can't say rise, wise, seven green young sprouts, then, you know, my strength will be loosed. Well, of course, we know that she did, and it didn't work. So she got, you know, made the appearance that she was really heartbroken. Next time now keep in mind, he toyed a little bit and used the term seven. I want you to keep that in mind, okay? Then he said, well, if you'll bind me with new ropes that nobody's ever occupied and hadn't been used for anything else, then of course, we know that didn't work either.
Yeah.
She was completely heartbroken then. Then he said, if you'll weave the seven locks of my hair with the web, which was the web of the loom, the web is the strips that go up and down, and then the other part that you weave across, you know, you take the beam and weave it across. He said, if you'll weave that web in my seven locks, and let me see if I can. Verse 14. Verse 13. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies, tell me wherewith thou might be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web, and she fastened it with the pin, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. Just carried it all off, hanging in his hair. And then, of course, she was heartbroken again. And she finally persuaded him to reveal all that his heart was. He poured his heart out to her.
She pressed on him daily.
Daily, Brother Paul.
Kept asking.
After. You know, that's the way Satan tries to get us, to draw us out into the world. It's constant, daily. And if he can, and it went on to say that he laid his head in her lap. Oh, whew. Think about it. Laying a Christian brother or sister in Christ, laying her head in the lap of the world and being drawn out into the world. Breaks my heart. It just literally breaks my heart. But we know how the story went. He revealed the deepest secret, and told him, never from my youth, my head's never been shaved. He laid his head in her lap. She shaved his head, cut the 7 locks of his hair from his head. And then she cried, "Samson, the Philistines be upon thee." And here's the sad part. Here's the sad part, verse 20. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He didn't even realize that the Lord had left him. He just thought, well, everything will be just like it was. I can play around in the world. I can lay my head in Delilah's lap. And it's going to be okay. But it wasn't okay.
He ended up the eyes plucked out from that.
His vision was took from him. Yeah. But one other place I'd like to share with you. And now here's what I think happened. And here's what I think happens to Christians. In 2 Peter chapter 1, I think when Samson laid his head in Delilah's lap and fell asleep, and they took those knives or razors, whatever they used, and they reached and got that first lock of hair and they cut it off, I believe that charity left Samson. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, and I'm going to go, and I believe it, I don't believe you backslide overnight.
No.
I believe it's a gradual thing. You get drawn into that, and when you wake up, you don't even realize a lot of times the condition that you're in. But when they cut that first lock, charity was taken from him. When you lose love, love's going to be the first thing and it'll go. Then brotherly kindness. They cut that second lock off and he lost brotherly kindness. They reached and cut that third lock off. Godliness. You'll not want to do anything concerning. You won't have any care for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Then you'll get to where you don't want to really hear that much about God or His Word. And then they cut that fourth one. And his patience. He didn't have no more patience. It takes patience to be a Christian, don't it? Don't pray for it. Don't pray for it. Been there and done that. They reached and cut that next one. His temperance was gone. Didn't have any control. See, he become slowly becoming Satan's puppet. That's what it amounts to again. They cut another one. Knowledge left. Anything that he knew concerning God or His Word, the victory that he had through God, that knowledge of peace and hope was gone. Cut another one and virtue was gone. No morals. Didn't want to do what's right. Didn't even know what was right probably at that point. And time all these other left, he didn't even have no faith. Had to have somebody to lead him around because he had lost his vision. And that's what could possibly happen to our brothers and sisters in Christ if they're not careful. And to me, I just feel like I need to warn somebody about this. And I don't know where they're at. You know, we got to be careful. We got to be careful, and we got to be strong. Because see, when these, you know, it starts out, we start playing around, and we think, well, it's Sunday, the flea market's open. I ain't been to the flea market in a long time, you know, and, the, you know, things ain't really going real strong down to church, you know, so I'll just go to the flea market. See, it starts gradual. Then the next thing you know, they forget to read God's Word. Then they're not praying. Then they're not having the fellowship. They're not gathering together. I don't care if it even is in the parking lot. We need that togetherness. We need to have fellowship. We got to have that to grow and stay strong in the Lord. And it's a gradual thing. And I don't want it to happen to me. I don't want it to happen to you. I want us to be strong and bind together. We have to now more than ever. I tell you what, I believe with everything in me that it ain't going to be long till the Lord comes back.
Amen.
And I want to be looking for Him.
Yes, amen.
And go up together with you all.
Amen.
Just look, I was talking to a man at work the other day, a good Christian friend of mine, we was talking about going home, and I said, I'll tell you one thing, I'm not going to be looking back. When I leave here, it's going to be like this. I'm going to be waving like that. I don't want to look back. But I don't know what it's going to be like, but I want to make sure that my brothers and sisters are going with me. I want to make sure that. I want to see them go, Paul, to join up there together. I tell you what, I look forward to that. I look so forward now to being able to come to church on Wednesday night and Sundays. I look forward to that. It's a blessing and encouragement to me. And I want you... Can't tell you how much I'm being fed spiritually. I can't even explain that. But I tell you what, I don't know. I ain't never said anything to Paul or anything, but I come back for seconds and thirds. I gorge. I tell you what, I make a pig out of myself when it comes to the preaching of the Word. I do, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate your all's love. And I tell you what, I believe you care about me and Pat. I honestly do. I believe you care about us. And we care about you all. If it bothers you, it bothers me. If it's important to you, it's important to me. And that's the way it is with God. And listen, this ain't me. If you'd have known me, 35 years ago, 36, 7 years ago, you would know that that's not me. But it's the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's the Lord God Almighty. And the mercy that He loved, He showed to me through the sacrifice made on the cross. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Praise His holy name.
Bless your heart,
brother. So I hope what we share with you, I hope it helps you and encourages you a little bit. Let's just bind together.
Amen.
Just bind together. It's all, you know, it's what we need to do. And I hope we're helping you. I hope it's...
Bless you, buddy. Good. No better than that.
But we love you. So we'll go ahead and take prayer requests if anyone has a prayer request.
I'll tell you what, Gene, let's do something a little different tonight. Let me go ahead.
All right.
And I'll tell you why, and you'll see why you're right in just a minute. We'll pray and sing or whatever here, but while Jean's got her attention tonight, the Lord's got her attention tonight, I want to share some things with you that the Lord's given me today. I mean, I had a thought, but it went out the window. And the Lord started about 3:30 today. And right here is what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. Talk to you about being out of control. And being out of control, the only thing, bless you, young man, the only thing and the only hope that we've got is turning to the Lord.
Amen.
In prayer. And going to the only hope that America, the only hope that the church has got is prayer.
Amen.
And just like Gene said there, when Samson laid his head down in Delilah's lap, those seven, that seven, that means something. There were seven literal churches established in Asia during the missionary journey. See, God didn't make no mistake. He set all this up, and He didn't just stumble upon numbers in the Bible. They mean something. And I'll tell you something tonight, guys. When you go to sleep, there can be a lot of things done to you, and you'll never know it till you wake up and it's done gone. Let me tell you something right here. We've been dealing with an issue for months at work. I'm dying, and I can't tell you what it was, but it was bad. And today at three o'clock in the stand down meeting, the DON said, "Paul, pray for this, and that God will help us." And I got down on my knees and I said, "God, I know you're able. Lord, you went in the graveyard one day, and there's a man there that was just completely out of his mind. He was naked. He was wounded, and God, please help us." Left the conference room, walked about 20 feet, and what happened? God answered a prayer and took care of it, and Amen. Took care of it. And the only way that we'll ever be able to get out of this world is praying to God.
Amen.
And I want you to pay close attention tonight what we've got on our heart. Brother Gene, I wasn't surprised. I know God's able, but I want you to just like he said, you go to messing with the world, you go to playing with the world and flirting with the devil, he'll get you. See, he'll get me. He'll get anybody that he can. Samson had the power of God in his life, and then all of a sudden he was drawn away by the lust of his own heart. There was a woman enticed him and carried him away. Boy, and the whole, then listen, guys, the whole motive and the whole thing of that was for her to destroy this man's life. And not only that, if she destroyed his life, God couldn't use him to bring victory to the people of God. So with me tonight, I'll give you one verse to get you to stand tonight, and if you'll stay with me, I'm going to show you something tonight through the help of the Lord God Almighty. And but turn with me to Isaiah chapter number 14. Isaiah chapter number 14, the prophecy of the coming of the Lord. For unto us is born this day, city of David, and so on and so forth. And we're fixing to celebrate Easter here, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, listen, guys, if he stayed in the tomb, it would all be in vain. I mean, if he didn't arise from the dead, and if we didn't have our hope in that, it'd all be in vain, wouldn't it? But here, let's look tonight, and I know the Lord, he'll tie all this together with Samson. He'll tie all this together with the drawing power of this world. But let me read this in Isaiah chapter number 14. Verse number 13, he said, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." And you may be seated tonight in the house of God. And we know here tonight that's the devil. That's his thought, that's his mind, that he'll rise his throne above everything in this world. And you know tonight, let me go on before I get ahead of myself, but let me tell you how loose and how the world is now. Here this morning in the city of Baltimore, prostitutes, you can walk the streets, they won't even bother you. It's amazing that the shape that we're in, and the morals that's been torn down and torn apart because we've let down the things of God. The devil has snuck in and put us to sleep and put a lot to sleep out there. And some of them won't even wake up, Gene. But God help us tonight to realize where we're at. But anyway, we see here that Satan's mind was is to rise himself up above God himself. And that scripture says right here, he said he's going to rise up above the stars. He said up on the mountain, up on a place of control, up higher than anything that's out there. And now turn with me to Revelation chapter 17. Stay with me tonight. Now here's the devil and here's the false church. I'll tell you tonight, guys, everything that God has, there's a counterfeit out there. When God calls a preacher, I believe the devil calls one. I believe when God calls a Sunday school teacher, a song leader, or a choir, whatever it is, there's always a counterfeit out there. Somebody to try to take the place of where God really needs to be. But here, think about this. Satan, he said, I'll put myself up in a place of control. I'll be up on the mound. Controlling a lot of things. Now, Revelation chapter 17. Let's look right here at verse number 7 in Revelation 17. Look right here in the 7th verse. Right here in the 17th chapter. Pay close attention to this tonight. Here we are at Revelation 17, verse number 7. He said, and the angel said unto me, why for dost thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman. I'll tell you the mystery of Delilah. I'll tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carried her, which has 7 heads and 10 horns. And the beast that thou sawest, pay close attention, and the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, or go into doom, or go in to destruction. He said, and they that dwell upon the earth shall wonder, and pay attention, all that's on the face of the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now think about this tonight. The demonic powers of this world, and brethren, and the spirit of Delilah, and the spirit of Babylon, mystery Babylon. Hey, they somebody holding her up. Have they somebody supporting her? Have they somebody that's behind her? Have they somebody that's feeding her? But brother, I seen something today in prayer about 3:35. I don't know. I thought about this. It might have been even 3:33. But while we was praying there, I got down on my face and I began to pray on my knees. And to begin to ask God to help us with this situation that we have. Being out of control, nothing to, I can't absolutely do nothing about it. Our hands are tied unless one thing happened. And we prayed there, and I asked God and went 20 foot, and the thing that we prayed for happened. And then why was that? It's because God answered a prayer, and God, brother, is in control. We're in a mixed up world today. And brother, well, people have lost their vision. They've lost their love. They've lost their burden. They've lost their care one for another. And the only way we'll ever escape or get out of it is to pray unto God. Well, you got a handkerchief? Let's look right here. I want you to turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. And I seen something for the first time today that's always been there, but it just it was just revealed unto me today how that God was tying all of this together. I could tell you some things today of what we've been praying for that come to pass today that would keep you up tonight. But I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to show you some scripture right here that no doubt there was a family that was troubled, and a family that couldn't do something with an individual, a family that was just all to pieces and simply couldn't do nothing with one of their family members. But I want you to notice something tonight. In Luke chapter number 8. Luke, just give me a paper towel. It don't matter. Luke chapter number 8. And I want you to pay close attention to this tonight. In the Gospel of Luke, we're going to talk to you tonight about a story about a man that was full of the devil. He answered the Lord when he asked him who he was. He said, my name's Legion. And if you look at Legion, it's got several different meanings. The army talks about a Legion. They got 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers in their army. Also the word Legion means a host of. There's a lot of people, brother, that the devil's got control of, control over, and there's a lot of people supporting it. Why in the world would you legalize hookers on the street and they're not going to do anything about it? Why would you do that? What kind of mind that's behind taking the morals of God away, spitting in God's face, and saying we're going to do it this way and we're going to do it that way? I'll tell you why. Because they're driven by Satan himself.
Right.
Thank you, Louise. All right, right here in Luke chapter number 8. I want to start reading right here in verse number 26. Remember there what we read there in Isaiah 14:13. He said, I will ascend myself above the stars, and I'll be on the throne. I'll be in a position where I can do what I want to. Isaiah prophesied of that. Revelation chapter number 17, the Bible said there the vision, and he said, John, why are you so troubled about this? He said, I'm going to show you what this is all about. He said, talks about the 10 kings and the seven, honey, this world is in the support of the devil, and they're holding him up, and they're esteeming him up, and they're helping him as he goes along.
Here they are.
And we ought to get sick of it. I'm going to tell you something tonight, guys. Everywhere you turn, and it's getting worse and worse every day, homosexuality and sodomy, and it's getting worse and worse every day. No embarrassment, no nothing. It's way, way out of control. Good friend of mine said something to a lady the other day and said, how you doing? She went, I'm doing all right. And then it got out. And he got pulled in because of it. It was offended by that. You think we're not out of control? You think we're not supporting a lot of things? And the devils are smiling and a laughing and a running to and fro and a getting everybody he can to help hold him up.
Yeah.
Verse number 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadareans, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time. Honey, this ain't nothing new. We've been bad shape for a long time. Back in 1961, I believe it was, when they took prayer out of the school and just pushing God out and out and out and further and further and further. We've been like this for a long time. But we need to wake up and praise God. I quit letting the world have such a draw and such a pull on us that gets us away from God.
Amen.
I said this one time, I won't name the church, I about did. Maybe the Lord wanted me to, he about come out. But I preached again the flea market on Sunday. I got a call that evening from church, from the pastor. He said, "You got a hornet's nest over my church." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Some of my people go up there on Sundays and set up. Oh, they make it to church on Sunday night and they sing in the choir." I said, "Honey, you had a hornet's nest. Boy, I got that."
Amen.
A lot of stuff's been going on too long. And we as the people of God, we need to quit supporting so much of this mess.
Amen.
I mean, listen, guys, there's a beast out there. If you read over there in the Revelation about that beast, where it come from, he come up out of that pit. He come right out of the soot walls of hell, and the smoke thereof dimmed the light, or dimmed the sun that you couldn't see it. I tell you what that represents. Everything that's out of hell, it will blind us. It will make things unclear. But I tell you what, God can clear the smoke. God can give us our vision back. God can help us if we quit supporting the wrong things. Tell you what I remember growing up. Woodrow and Irene Bible has store over on the old road. But I remember Papaw saying, "If there's any storing done, you better do it on Saturday. There'll not be no storing on Sunday." But, I mean, I'm not very old, but I'm not a young man no more. I remember when there wasn't nothing open on Sunday. I mean, West Virginia and Tennessee and everywhere, but I tell you what, we went to, and I'm guilty, everybody. I mean, I could buy my gas and other things and so on and so forth. Pray tonight, beloved. We went to sleep in Delilah's lap, and we're supporting a lot of things that children of God ought not to. But anyhow, here she was. He went over to Gadarene country. Here was a man. Verse 27, when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, or but in the graveyard, or in the tombs. Now pay close attention to this tonight. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." See, there's only one thing that'll get rid of the devil, and the man's name's Jesus.
Yes.
And he sent his third, the Trinity, the Holy Ghost, back at Pentecost, and that's in the heart of the child of God. It doesn't matter what temptation comes your way, God will make a way of escape.
Amen.
What have you done, thou Son of God, Most High God? What have you done to come to torment us? Verse number 29 said, "For he had commanded the unclean spirits to come out of the man, for oft times he called him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness." And Jesus asked him, said, "What's your name? What's thy name?" And he said, "Legion, because many devils were into him." And they besought him, now pay close attention right here, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. But there was a herd of swine, many swine, feeding where? On the mountain. Honey, right there's where the hogs feed at, on the mountain. Right here's where the devil feeds at. He feeds on the mountain. Right here's where the world's feeding. It's on the mountain. Why is that? It's because the world is holding them up.
Amen.
Now, Dr. Pigstopper didn't send me this one from Nashville. God, they don't know how. They don't know how. I throw them in a dumpster. God said tonight how we need to quit supporting all this mess.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you'll go to sleep. And you'll do it and you'll become unconscious to it. You'll go in a daze. You'll support things and you won't even care no more. You'll get so, it's me, I don't care what people think. I'm going to do it anyway. Go ahead and support the devil. Hold him up there. That's what he wants.
Yeah, that's right. It's true.
But there was a herd of swine out there feeding where? On the mountain. Now look here what they said. Feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. All right. If You want to go into the hogs, if you want to turn to the slop bucket, if you want to go to this world, just go right ahead. God never kicked the door down nowhere and went in on nobody. God stands at the door and knocks. If we'll open the door, he'll come in. He'll run the devil off, clean us up, and we'll want to be part of the house of God and not supporting this mess.
Amen.
All right, now, verse number 33. And then went the devils out of the man, and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake, and was choked. Turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, for a minute. Chapter 5, Met this man, had no dwellings. In the 5th chapter of St. Mark, no man could bind him, no, not even with chains. Flirt with the devil, let him wrap the greenery around you. Let him wrap the ropes around you. There'll be a time, praise God, you wake up and you'll not break it. Why is that? Because the power of God will be gone.
Amen.
How'd you like to be led around by some little old lad with your eyes poked out? Why do you think Samson was led around with his eyes? Why do you think they gouged his eyes out? Why do you think happened to him? I tell you what happened to him. When he went to sleep in her lap, the power left. And just like the church is, they went to sleep in the world's lap, and they're supporting the world and the mountains of this world. Ain't got no power, no burden, no nothing. But it's high time we wake out of our sleep and realize that, praise God, Jesus is a-coming. Mark tells you the same thing. Here was a man, just like the one Lou we dealt with, completely out of control. Nobody could do nothing with him. I thought about this when I was on my knees praying. Lewis Ward got part of my thought. Not only that, he'd been bound with fetters and chains often. No man could do anything with him. He was out of control. I tell you what, a man that's out of control, a man that's backslid, a man that's supporting the world, and he knows he is, and I preach a message like this, they'll call me everything but what I am, and really they ain't mad at nobody but themselves, but they ain't got enough guts to admit it.
That's right.
Honey, it ain't me you're mad at. Look in the looking glass. No man can do anything with him. But all day and night he's in the mountain. Where was? Look here, verse number 5. Day and night, where was he? He's in the mountain. He's in the mountains. Gene said it. That land down there, it's productive. It is today, and boy, it's got a draw to it. The gods of this world that's blinded people's minds. This world's got a draw to it. He'll lie to you, and they'll lie to you. They'll promise you a snowball in August, and really, it's a trap to set you up to pluck your eyes out.
Amen.
Matthew said he was dwelling in the mountain, or Luke said he was in the mountain. Mark said he was in the mountain. Not only in the mountains and then in the tombs and cutting himself with stones. Out of control. Out of control. Samson got up that day, Willard, and the Philistines are here, and he got up and stepped out there just like before and thought, I'll get them just like as the time before, not knowing that the Spirit of God left him. I'm going to ask this eternal security crowd. It looked to me like he'd be gone. You wouldn't even know it. A lot of them sealed out and can't get in. They supported the world and everything around them and go for this and go for that. And ain't God enough God to shock a chigger? Somebody said, "Preacher, I don't like that." Well, explain Matthew 25. Explain prodigal son. Explain a dog to his vomit. Explain a hog to the mire. I say, praise God, you die with it. As the tree falls, there's, well, that's the way it's going to be there. I didn't aim to get into all of that, but I'm going to tell you one thing. There's a lot of people mix up in a lot of stuff, need to make their mind up what they're going to support. But he's in the mountains. Verse 6 said, "But look here. But when he saw Jesus afar off," honey, they're out there. They're looking at Jesus too far off. He's as close as you'll let him be. He's the God of deliverance. He's the God that answers prayers. When he saw Jesus far off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, or I command thee by God, that thou tormentest me not." Let me tell you something out there tonight. The devil don't care how much he torments you. He'll torment you night and day, and you'll get out of control. And the next thing you know, you're supporting the world. Verse number 8 said, "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What's your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name's Legion, for we're many." My name's Legion. I've got a host of people with me that's holding up a lot of things. I've got a host of people that's naked and blind and miserable and knoweth it not. I've got a host of people that I've got run to the mountain up yonder naked, cutting themselves. They're out of control. I don't care about them. I'm not going to support it anyway. Verse number 10, "And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country." And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the hogs or into the swine, that we may enter into them." You know why? People that's in the hog pen, people that's in the world, they'll support anything. You'll stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Now verse number 11. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. Why did God put that in Luke and in Mark? Down in the mountain there was a herd of swine. I tell you why I believe tonight. Hogs water in the mar, in the hollers down there where it's muddy. But in these scriptures right here in Luke and Mark, on the mountain there was a herd of swine feeding. What did I tell you about over in Isaiah chapter 14:13? And he said, "I'll exalt myself up high as the stars. I'll be in a place of control. I'll be on the mountain." Jesus said to John, "Marvel not." Why do you marvel about these things? He said, "I'm going to show you what's holding the mountain that's holding her up. I'll tell you what's supporting this world. It's people that ain't praying to God. They're praying, but they ain't praying to my God and your God. Because when you pray to my God and your God, something will happen.
Amen.
I don't know about nobody else in this building here tonight, but I do know about 30 years ago or 31 or something, been a long time, God clothed me and put me in my right mind. Boy, run around out there in the yard, no shirt on, the pair of shorts, and claimed to be a preacher. He said, "Oh, I'd give $1,000 if I had your pair. Put your clothes on. Quit running around out in the world naked. You're hurting yourself. You're harming yourself, and you don't realize it. Hey, quit supporting this mess." There's a herd of swine feeding on the mountain. We raised hogs all my life. And every time you turn a hog loose, you know where they go? They go to the mud hole. You wash one up and you put a bow around his neck, pair of sunglasses on him, turn him loose, he'll go to the mud hole. It's just like people trying to live for God without the Spirit.
Amen.
They'll support anything. There's some things, you can do a whole lot of things without God. You can go to church. You can sing in the choir. You can preach. You can play the piano. You can play the guitar. You can have a smile. You can be good, friendly. You can be a good person. You can do this. There's a whole lot of things you can do. You can do without God, but you'll not go to heaven without Him. There's going to come a day. There's going to be a separation. The sheep's are going on the right. The goats is going on the left. But there they was. Now there was nine to the mountains. Nine to the mountain. The great herd of swine feeding. And the devil sought him, saying, "Send us into the swine that we may enter them." And Jesus, forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the swine and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And they were about 2,000. And we're choked in the sea. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of things that's taking place around us that we need to realize who's behind it. I know there'll be a lot of questions over this message, but I know Luke chapter number 8, verse 33 said, "And the devils went out of the man, and it entered into the swine, and the herd run down the place into the lake and were choked." Verse 32 said, "And there were a herd of swine feeding on the mountain." There's a lot of the world, a lot of things that's feeding on the mountain. Why is it? It's because somebody, some things, has got that mountain raised up. There's a true church and there's a false church. And I might be safe to say there's probably more supporting the false church, holding her up, than the real church. Mystery Babylon hath fallen. And he saw a star fall from heaven upon the earth. I'm not going to get into all that. But I know one thing, guys. I do know one thing. There are some things that my home, your home, and that we need to look at and see really who we're supporting.
Amen.
We'll tell you something, guys. This virus. I mean, I know God's used it through the multimedia things and different things to reach a lot of people. But our people need to be in the house of God.
Amen.
If you're able to come, I know there's people that's sick and can't come, but there's more out there tonight listening to me. You're supporting a whole lot of other things. It's time to start supporting the house of God.
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about tangible. I'm talking about holding it up. Just like Gene said, I look forward to Wednesday night and Sunday night. Yeah. Praise God. That's a part of my life that I get to come down to the house of God and I get lifted up. And I get lifted up that I can see all the corruption and all the things that's going on around us and support the house of God and the Word of God and scream it from the housetop. Jesus is alive and well. And praise God, He will take care of His people if you'll support Him. Supporting the right or the wrong thing. Oh, Delilah, honey, this gets you some little old green ropes up, some little old green vines up there. That'll have you broken. I know he would. She got mad and then buttered up to him. Oh, honey, what, honey? Go up to TSC and get brand new ropes. It ain't never been, to the barn. Madder than a boy. I'm going to tell you something tonight, guys. Every time the child of God takes a stand for God, it makes the devil mad. Yeah. There's things, and let me tell you something tonight, guys. There's things in the Word of God, and I've faced it many a time. At the devil said, you preach that and I'll tear you apart. I'll rip you apart. And I say, God, please, he may do it. He may damage me in some areas, but God, please help me. Give me your great grace to stand for you and tell him what it says and be a blessing and a help to the people of God and let them know if we'll call unto you, God will bring and send deliverance.